This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sicanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's your sports bros, Rob and Sook. I'm Rob.
Sada.
Big Sook's right over there.
And I just found out, dude. I did take the Raven Fox Capes and Cloaks cloak quiz.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that I am a traveling slash adventure cloak wearer. And it is recommended that I purchase the men's hooded inky black velvet cloak with pockets.
Black velvet?
Black velvet.
Sweet.
Yes.
Well, hello there.
Kind of excited about this. Sometimes you want to shine, and when you do, we've got you covered. Yeah, they adore this soft and shiny velvet that this cloak has to offer. And it also has a gorgeous drape. And, of course, don't forget the pockets, because as a road traveler and adventurer, I need pockets. Pretty excited.
It's the medieval times version of cargo pants.
It really is.
Who best wore the cloak?
Ooh. I would say, like, the Jedi robes, right? Like, isn't that a...
Yeah, like the Sith Lords?
Yeah, like, the Sith Lords.
You don't go back to the old Greeks?
Do they wear the cloaks? I thought that was more of like a... Is that a tote? Did they cloak it?
Yeah.
Think of, like, monks, you know?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Men of the cloth.
Yeah, I think that is a very... The Pope, right? I mean...
Like Vatican-style monks?
Is that a cloak?
I think so. I mean,
I don't think it is.
No. See, now that we're getting into this, because I see historical figures that wore capes, but that's not necessarily the same thing as a cloak. Like, they're going Dracula and Superman, Zorro.
Ooh, Zorro, that's good.
Julius Caesar wore one.
Isn't the Pope in a robe?
Well, the robe and the cloak, I think if you take a robe and you add a hood, it's kind of a cloak, although...
I think the difference is a robe has sleeves. Cloaks and capes do not.
Yeah. That's true. I did find a list.
The cloak is like a warm shell.
Yeah, a lot of Lord of the Rings. We're getting to a lot of the characters in Lord of the Rings. Jon Snow, Game of Thrones.
He was a cloak wearer. Big bear cloak. Yeah.
That's pretty kick-ass.
There's some good Game of Thrones cloaks.
Yeah. I feel like we've lost something when we've gone away from the cloak.
Gandalf, Dumbledore.
Yeah.
They had good cloaks.
Yeah. There's something to be said, like when you're in like bad weather, you just throw on the cloak a little bit, but it still has the freedom, you know, of movement.
Jon Snow was in the north with that thing. He was fine.
Yeah, I think we need to bring back
a hat.
I think we need to bring back the cloak, and I'm gonna do my part with my adventure velvet cloak. It's gonna start showing up in it. The Grim Reaper, there's one.
Very famous.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're saying that the Pope wears a cassock.
Cossack? A cossack.
Cossack? It's C-A-S-S-O-C-K.
Yeah, because that has sleeves, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's got the big Pope hat.
It's kind of like a dress, really.
Yeah, a little bit. Like a muumuu, but like more ornate. And then that Pope hat. I'd like to check out what that Pope hat has going on. What's that made of? Is it heavy? Because it's enormous. And is like, does that have structure
inside?
The
papal crown?
Or is it just starched real well? I would think that it's very uncomfortable to be the Pope.
Hashtag bring back the muumuu.
Yeah.
I love those. Oh,
my mom's a muumuu lady. Loves it. Goes to the dress barn. Pick her up some brand new muumuus.
What do you think my wife would say if I bought her muumuus for
Christmas? Oh my God, would you please, 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 please.
What do you think she'd say?
Oh, I just, please film it. Just, I want that so. Just be like,
what if I said these were my grandma's? Well, I really want you to have them.
Well, what if you just said, like, I thought these would, you are always talking about wanting something comfortable to kind of lounge around the house in. What if she loved it and she became a muumuu lady?
I'd love that. I'd be right there with her. Is there a male muumuu?
Yeah, you can make a male muumuu. Yeah. It's like a drug rug. That's the, like the, you know, like the High Plains Drifter Clint Eastwood cakes, the ponchos. Or is it the serapes or whatever? Isn't that kind of the male muumuu?
Yeah.
Yeah. Same sort of thing.
Although, is there a male muumuu? Because, I mean,
the romper?
The man romper?
I showed up to pick up my buddy once to a game, and he was wearing a flight suit. Threw me for a total loop.
A flight suit as in, like...
It was a flight suit.
Were you going to a party, or...
No! What? Like, we were going to a soccer game, and I...
Were you taking a flight? Was he flying?
No, it was, like, from the Banana Republic. It was a flight suit, but obviously not, like, branded.
So
but...
it's, like, a part of fashion.
Yeah, dude, it was a serious
That's
thing.
That's a bold move.
Believe me, I was not prepared for it.
Maybe on a catwalk somewhere, but,
threw
man.
Me for a loop. Olive green, like, flight suit. I said, where the hell did you get that? He said, Banana Republic. I was like, well, I'll be damned. Yeah, flight suit.
Vancouver Ford text line. My wife is 25, and her friends do muumuu parties.
Hell yes.
So good. Yeah, the male muumuu is basketball shorts. I can, yeah, that's, yeah. You're yeah. lounging around the house. Most people that's have right. a pair of basketball shorts that should have been retired.
Or like the cut-off sweatpants shorts?
Yeah, like years ago.
Yeah, I have sweat shorts.
I have a pair of Kansas basketball shorts that I wear around my house.
Or like the, what do you call them, the, is it, pants, the joggers.
Joggers, yeah. Sunday joggers.
Joggers. Yeah,
yeah. That's the male muumuu. Although you should just embrace the male muumuu, get an actual muumuu. I bet you there's some muumuus that are unisex.
A like, dude muumuu?
Yeah, dude muumuu. Yeah, you know, just buy a solid color one. No one will know the difference.
I still can't get over the flight suit thing.
Oh, yeah, dude.
that's pretty crazy.
That's in my kitchen.
It was in my kitchen all day. I couldn't. I was like, wow.
Well, I mean.
I'll tell you what. It caused a buzz. We walked into Providence Park, and let me tell you, if you want to cause a scene, if you want eyes on you, I'm telling you, wear a flight suit in the middle of summer to a soccer game. People pay attention.
Look up. They do have male muumuus.
Do I just look up male
Look muumuu? Them up on Amazon. They have them on Amazon. They have several of them.
Well, now I know what I'm getting you guys for Christmas.
And they are something.
Oh, yeah.
Male muumuus and male rompers. Matching.
Wow.
Look at to go with your matching veneers.
Look at that.
You guys show up one day in matching rompers and new veneers?
Yes.
Matching man muumuus?
Boy.
How have we not done that yet?
I don't know. I'm still
be good content.
I'm still trying to process this male muumuu. Dude, people are rocking them.
They sure are.
Yeah.
People are, or the people in those photos are?
Well, the models.
Yeah, the models.
That were forced to wear them for money. Why are the former Pac-12 teams struggling so much? We'll get to that this hour. The wildlife issue of our time in the club, but right now, the hot 5 at 5.
Oh! Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling,
Hot air.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
It's time for the hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victor Rico's Mexican Food. Discover Victor Rico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorricos.com.
Dave Bartu texted and said, Brett Bielema has his own line of sports muumuus. I can see Bielema as a nerd. Kind of
number
what he wears.
Five. He does do a pullover yeah. that's bordering on a muumuu.
Yeah, it's like you add a couple inches to that thing, and it's a muumuu.
The Ducks could get Jordan Birch back this week in the big house.
Yeah, it'd be a big get. Him and Ferguson were both practicing today, so.
Yes, Dan Lanning officially calling them both questionable. Kickoff Saturday at Michigan, 12:30 here on The Fan.
Well, you want to talk about a game at the start of the year that everyone had circled and now has absolutely no juice?
Yeah.
I give you this.
It's got some juice, but.
You think?
I mean, a little. Look, it's still the big house. Yeah. Cool place to play.
And maybe more for Oregon because you can go get a pelt on the defending national champion. At least you think you can
like
in
four
a
other teams,
iconic place.
Like four other teams already have that pelt. Like,
I know. I'm just telling you why I think Oregon fans might like it.
Would this win be better or worse than the win the year that they. Remember, they went in there and won?
After.
Oh,
the...
this would not. This would pale in comparison to that one.
Why? Because that team wasn't that good that year, Michigan.
They were that good. That after that, they went on to win all their games.
They won a bowl game, but.
Dude, well, they're better. They're already better than this year's.
This Michigan team's bad.
They just lost to App State that year.
And I think Oregon surprised everybody that game. Like, they put up like 37 points, and they did the fake Statue of Liberty, and they were dropping long bombs all over the place. Like, that was an arrival for Oregon.
Blazers lose last night in Sacramento. They are now 1-3. Next up will be a trip to Los Angeles to take on the Clippers tomorrow. Utah loses the number 9 overall pick, Taylor Hendricks, for the season. His leg turned the wrong way last night against the Mavericks.
You mentioned it. He hip-drop-tackled himself.
Yeah, it was weird.
It's brutal.
Raise your hand if you knew Rudy Gay was still playing.
Hey! No, I can't raise my hand. I thought he retired like 2 years ago.
You knew he was still playing?
No. I thought he was out of the league.
One of the all-time great box score stuffers.
Oh, for sure. He was the definition of a hollow player.
He'd just get you 20 points a game any night, and he would never win.
And do nothing. Yeah, he is retiring after 17 seasons in the NBA.
Hey, that's a great career, though.
Anytime. Made a lot of money.
17 years? Good for Rudy Gay. No idea. Was he...
Freddie Freeman just freaking did it again.
Did he really?
Yep.
I did.
Son of a gun. Short porch. Yeah, by the way, can we point out the fact that Yankee Stadium is an absolute joke? That's not a home run in any other ballpark.
No. Dude, the guy just hit home runs in 4 straight World Series games, and they're going to sweep them. That's nuts.
Freaky Freddy.
Well, now he's hit home runs in
six total, six, but like...
straight World Series games.
That was a two-run shot? Who was on?
Betts was on.
Wow. Well, I guess we'll do the World Series
go
here.
Go with that.
Could end tonight. The Dodgers are already up 2-0 on the Yankees in the first inning. They are up 3-0 in the series in New York. Aaron Judge now hitting just 196 with 86 strikeouts and 214 career playoff at-bats. Says right here in my notes, if Freddie Freeman homers, he sets the all-time record for consecutive World Series games with a dong at 6. He just donged.
Wait, sets or ties? That set it?
No, he sets it.
Okay.
Because he was tied with George Springer.
Jeez.
Do you remember that? We talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, we did. Is this the most no-brainer World Series MVP of all time?
Yes. I guess
maybe Bumgarner? Like, will anyone else get a vote?
Bumgarner didn't play in every game. Freeman had a home run in every... If they sweep it tonight, I think Freeman's got the better case. Contributed to every single win.
I think Bumgarner.
Would you look... Did anyone else receive a vote besides Madison Bumgarner?
Oh, look.
Has there ever been a unanimous MVP? Because... Who else are you voting for on the Dodgers?
I don't know who you could.
Yeah. Where were we?
I don't know. We got derailed by Freddie Freeman's giant teeth hitting home runs.
So much things. Quite a road for Michigan quarterback Jack Tuttle, who appeared in 2 games this season. He is a 7th-year senior. He has medically retired from football. He says his offseason arm surgery hasn't taken. He has also had 5 concussions. So he started at Utah, transferred to Indiana, sat behind Michael Penix, and he ended up in Ann Arbor. So this means that the Wolverines are back to Davis Warren as their quarterback. He was the first quarterback that started this year.
So you have Davis Warren, who can't run and sucks, or you go to Orgy, who is an athlete that literally can't throw the ball from me to you. So
they'll probably see both of them.
Yeah, good luck against Oregon. Michigan won't score 14 points. I don't know if Michigan will score 10 points.
I think the over-under for their team point total is 14.5.
I'll take the under.
I think so, too.
Number one.
And number one, NFL, Joe Flacco will be reinserted as QB1 in Indianapolis. Anthony Richardson benched. But the team says they are not quitting on him. They maintain he is their franchise guy.
We always say this when we bench a rookie quarterback. They said it about Zach Wilson. They did this, but there just really isn't a path forward unless Joe Flacco gets hurt. Anthony Richardson's career as a starter is hanging by a thread.
And they are saying he can use this as a growth opportunity. His completion rate this season is just 44.4%.
That's actually better than I would have thought. I mean, he's had some he can't play the position right now.
The Texans have lost wide receiver Stephon Diggs for the season. That's a torn ACL. And 2 trades, the Ravens trade for Panthers wide receiver Deontay Johnson. They swap a 6th and a 5th. And then the Panthers also deal offensive lineman Cam Robinson to the Vikings.
Yeah, well, the Vikings lost one of the best left tackles in the game. And there's not good left tackles to be had. Cam Robinson gets paid like a high-priced left tackle. He's not very good, but it's better than the alternative.
Better than backup, right?
Yeah. Like, Cam Robinson is a starter. I just think he's he's not elite by any stretch of the imagination. And Minnesota lost an elite tackle, maybe the second best one in football. So stopgap, see what you can do. And then you wonder, you know, Carolina was having a fire sale if anyone's available. You wonder if this starts the sell-off for the Jags, if maybe it's just you gut the thing and start over.
There's your Hot 5 at 5. It's brought to you by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com. Why are the former Pac-12 teams, not named Oregon, struggling so much? We'll get to that next on The Fan. Well, in a quick Google search, I was not able to find the vote totals for World Series MVPs. Now,
I wasn't either. I wonder if there is like a, is it a media vote?
It's a media.
Yeah,
yes.
It's a media vote.
It's media.
Well,
it's
in recent years, they've incorporated fan votes, like with T-Mobile activation sponsorships and things like that. Like they've made fans a component of it too now.
Yeah, there is something on MLB.com. There is a tab for 2024 World Series MVP vote.
I think the fans vote counts for like 20% of the
Does
award
it?
Or something like that.
Because there used to be just a committee, and it would always be media people who, and if other officials who are there at the World Series. So I don't even know if there's an official tabulation.
Oh, I always thought it was a media. I guess I've now that Buck mentions it. I guess I do now remember seeing like the hey vote, but I always just thought it was like because people talk about in the press box, like reporters talk about. All right, well, I have to cast my MVP vote.
So I don't know. I couldn't get any info on that. I will say that Madison Bumgarner, just to refresh your memory, in 2014, he pitched 21 innings in that World Series. He had three appearances, including one out of the bullpen on short rest, and he gave up one run.
Yeah.
I mean, he...
I was going to say, if there was ever a unanimous MVP...
That's it.
I would think it's Bumgarner, but I mean, if you're the Freddie, there's not another Dodger that you could conceivably vote for. Not a single one without it being Freddie Freeman.
So he has homered again tonight.
Yeah.
Freeman now has home runs in six straight World Series games, which is a all-time record. He is now hitting, let's see, this postseason. Going into tonight in this series, see, he was 4-for-12 with three home runs. So he's now 5-for-13 with four home runs and nine RBIs. In this series.
Coming in and supposedly was going to be limited playing on a bum ankle that they didn't think he'd really be able to make any sort of impact. And look at him. And they've done this. I mean, I guess Ohtani did have the tied the game that led to the Freeman Grand Slam. So other than that, though, Ohtani has not been a factor.
No, well, Tommy, wouldn't it be Tommy Edman the other?
Oh, my God. Dude, watch this. Mookie Betts makes a catch, and the Yankee fan wrestles the
New
ball.
New Yorker yelling at him.
Wow.
But he was over here!
Wow.
He could hurt his wrist.
I don't know if I've ever seen that. Think about it. So,
dude.
They called him out, obviously, right?
That was nuts.
I've never seen that. So, like, Mookie Betts makes a catch down the with the right field line.
Mm-hmm.
And
this video is incredible.
Yeah, and he catches it. I mean, it's in the stands. He reaches over and makes the catch in foul territory.
Great catch.
And there is this douchebag New York fan that literally grabs Mookie Betts' glove and for about 15 seconds is trying to wrestle the ball out of his glove while another Yankee fan grabs Betts' other hand and starts twisting it. So that he can't reach up and grab it. I've never seen anything like this.
God.
They have to kick them out of the game, right?
Well,
I mean,
of course. Yeah, he's out.
I've never seen anything like that.
That
it's one
gone.
Thing to try to catch the foul ball. It's another to like try to pry open the person's glove.
Have you ever?
No.
That could have gone way
that
worse.
That could have
too.
Been really, really bad.
Because the wall is tall, and it looked like Mookie's wrist was...
Yes, you could have broken his wrist.
Yeah. Oof.
And that was not freaking, like one of those, like he was digging in his glove trying to rip it out.
It is just
the
shocking.
Video's insane.
The Yankees, they couldn't just get swept.
No.
They had to have their fans pile on and just reiterate how douchey they are.
Yeah. Like if by the way, just, I mean, I don't mean to stereotype people because, I mean, look, I get it. You look at me and I certainly cast an image of something.
January 6th?
Yeah. By the way, I had someone at a bar yesterday ask me if I was a Nazi. That is a real statement that someone asked me. And I was like...
And your answer?
I was like, well, that's a complicated...
Am I a Nazi?
Dude, it brought the bar to a standstill. Even the bartender was like, excuse me? So, I mean, I get the perception out there. But if you had to paint the picture of a drunk, entitled, douchebag Staten Island Yankee fan, isn't it that guy?
Yeah.
He looks like the Brooklyn Brawler, well, for God's sakes.
It's like this. How many stadiums would that happen in?
I
don't think many.
No, I really don't think so.
I really don't. I would say Philly.
Yes.
I would say Boston.
New York.
Yeah,
this Philly. For sure happens at Fenway.
Boy, yeah. That is, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe. What else? Doesn't happen on the West Coast.
No, dude, I don't know.
Probably not Chicago.
I just don't know. I literally have never seen it. Just
amazing. Anyway,
there's great photos of his double chin out there as he's trying to yank it out of his glove.
The super slow-mo of like the glove pry is unbelievable.
Did he get the ball?
They pulled it out.
The ball, like, he wasn't able to secure it. Like, they ripped it out, and then the ball, like, flew out of the glove and back onto the field to play.
But Betts clearly caught it.
Yes.
And then the one guy that was trying to wrestle it out of his glove, it was the second guy that reached over and was able to, looks like he was able to pry it out, and the ball goes flying. But, it's got to be an out, and then I'm assuming they're going to kick those two douche canoes out. If the Yankees have any... I mean, if they don't kick those guys out,
they'll
then,
be kicked out.
Oh, there's no question
they stay. They don't stay.
There's just no question.
This isn't someone trying to catch a foul ball. This is someone trying to, like, this is different than
That's
Bartman.
That's bad. I can't wait to hear what Bet says about that.
Yeah.
He was pissed.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. The other quick follow up, and then we're going to get back on track here.
Sorry.
Maybe.
Well, I don't remember what we were talking about, but I looked up and I was like, what is happening right now? Because I'm a little bit ahead of you.
So, Rudy Gay, noted NBA.
Stat stuffer.
Compiler? I don't know.
Yeah, there we go.
Longtime NBA veteran.
See, he goes into the Carmelo Anthony class for me. And Carmelo Anthony is obviously a way better player than Rudy Gay. But all I'm saying there is they're just players that were hollow stat stuffer, patter players. They just never won anything, never did much.
Yeah.
Do you care to guess how much money that dude made in his career?
Oh, my God. I'm guessing
Rudy
this
Gay?
Is a...
I'll say over 200 mil.
Well, he signed that big deal. Was it in Sacramento that he signed? I mean,
I think he had a couple big deals.
I'm going to go like 270. I bet you he made a butt ton of money.
So that guy, he was third in Rookie of the Year voting in Memphis in 2007. He never had one accolade in 16 seasons after that. Not
really?
One.
Uh-uh. He never made an all-defensive team. He never made nothing.
Not according to his basketball
no
reference
all-star
page.
Teams? He was on an Olympic team, right?
Maybe.
I thought Rudy Gay was made an Olympic team.
He was all league that first year.
Okay.
No all star appearances. He played in the slam dunk contest the next year.
He never made an all star team, huh?
No.
Well, then maybe I'm going to have to lower that. I thought he was better than that. Maybe 215, 220.
215, 220. Oh, million?
Yeah.
He made $181 million.
Okay.
In
my mind, I thought Rudy Gay was better than that.
Well, he averaged, 16 points a game for his career.
He played 17 years in the league and you averaged 16 points. Rudy Gay might be criminally underrated.
He's a walking bucket, but he just never helped anybody win
anything.
He's
not underrated, though. I mean, he's a good player, but he just didn't, he was inconsequential.
Yeah.
And he bounced around. They traded him like five times.
But he made $181
million.
God. And this is why those old NBA guys hate the modern player.
That douchebag.
Because there's some dude that made like six all-NBA teams and won two titles that made $1.2 million. And he's looking at Rudy Gay. He's like, I may not be in the Hall of Fame, but I got $180 million.
Okay, why are the former Pac-12 teams struggling so much? Not named Oregon, of course. That's next. Here's Buck. All right. What's going on? Talking some sports here. Man, do we love our sports.
We do.
Except, don't play intramurals, brother.
God, it's just, I can't get over Yankee fan.
Classic Yankee fan.
Classic Yankee fan. And then when the ref came over to rule him out, the Yankee fans started yelling and arguing with the ump.
Yeah, no way.
We were standing here, and he came over here.
I don't know why this is bothering me so much, but I want to see confirmation that those dumbasses got kicked out. And
dude, they're going to get, not only do they get kicked out, I bet they get banned.
I bet they do. I bet they do too.
I don't know why. I don't know why that bothers me so much, but the idea.
Because there's just a douchebag.
Well, and it's not just, the fact that it's Yankee fans certainly affects it for me. But there's I feel this way about when people storm courts and you buy a ticket and that's fine. You have the right to boo. You have the right to scream. Whatever. But the idea that you have the right to interact with people on the field, that you have the right to put your hands on the athlete, that just. I don't know. There's something about that that is just one of my big pet peeves. And then to watch them so indignant about it, God, I want them to face some consequences.
Yeah, the guy's laughing. You know, when they got he did get the ball out of the glove, but it fell down onto the field.
Yeah.
So he did not get the ball.
Yeah.
But,
good.
And I'm looking to see if they show him being escorted out or anything. That's here it is right here.
They are getting escorted.
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't see it.
Oh, yeah. 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 The guys in suits are down there telling all the other fans to relax.
Yeah.
And they're walking them out.
Good.
Number 99, he has a Aaron Judge road jersey. Mm-hmm. And the other guy's wearing sunglasses.
Sunglasses at night.
And they're all getting high fives as they go up the
stands. Hey, by the way, those seats probably cost you $5,000 a piece. Enjoy. Have fun.
Dumbass.
Dipasses.
All right, so was reading some sports news today.
Oh, hot sports news!
Yeah, I saw our buddy Brock Huard.
Oh, what's old Brock up to?
Well, he was interviewed in a story in the Arizona Daily Star, and they were talking about why the former Pac-12 teams are struggling.
Oh, okay.
Of course, Oregon is not. But Brock's answer to that is, well, the only team who really has the roster stocked to deal with some of the new conferences is Oregon. And so it stands to reason that they're fine.
Sure.
Everybody else, you know, well, not everybody, but USC, UCLA, Washington, mm-hmm. certainly Utah, Arizona, Stanford, Cal, Oregon State. That's 8 of 12 right there. They're all struggling.
Yeah.
Oregon's doing great. Arizona State's been a nice little story, and then you have the Cougs, Washington State.
Yeah, Cougs doing good.
And Colorado.
Yeah,
the other eight suck.
But can I also make the argument too that had they stayed in the Pac-12, they would suck too. It'd just be
yes, but we wouldn't know it because they would have better. Well, seriously, you would have better records. Like the USC would not have dropped. What, 3 in a row or 4 in a row?
I'm not certain about that.
I don't think they would.
I don't know. Like, you look through that schedule.
Utah would certainly have a better record.
Yeah, but they would still be, I mean, I guess they're playing other crappy teams. I think it's too easy to say, why are they struggling? Can ultimately, and there may be multiple reasons. To me, the reason why they're struggling is none of those are good teams.
Well, I know, but when you get, I would just say this, like, if you put the Pac-12 back together, I don't think Washington State, Oregon, Arizona State, and Colorado are leading that league. Some of it is schedule and what, like USC, I think is a good example. I think Washington is another good example. I think if those two teams mm-hmm. were in the Pac-12 this year, they would not be as bad record-wise as they are. And Utah would be another one. Now Arizona, I'm not sure. Certainly Stanford and Cal were already bad. Oregon State had a lot of transition, so that's tough to say.
I'm looking through, like, Utah has lost to Arizona, which would have been in the pack, and they got blown out. They lost to Arizona State, which would have been in the pack. They lost to TCU and Houston, and no offense, but to TCU or Houston, but dude, you just as easily, you would have lost to Washington State, and
if they played Cal and Stanford and not TCU and...
Yeah, but they still. My point is, you still would have lost to Arizona and Arizona State, and you would have lost to Oregon. And let's throw another one in there. Look, I understand.
Well, USC and Washington would be better examples.
Because
they're in the Big Ten, not the Big 12. I don't think anybody is saying, "Oh, it's so much tougher in the Big 12."
Yeah.
There are people who are making the case that it is much harder in the Big Ten. Brock Huard being one of them, and I would tend to agree.
Yeah.
And a couple of things that he said. Well, first of all, some of the numbers through the 2010s, the Pac-12 placed an average of 4.1 teams in the top 25 mm-hmm. at this point in the season. Last season, at this point, they had 6. This season, they have 1. Now, they're not counting Washington State there because Washington State is technically still the Pac-12. So,
yeah,
2.
Sure.
If we're being fair about it. That's the first time that's happened since 2011. So, only 4 former Pac-12 teams are even 2 games above 500. And if they all played in the same league, that would,
obviously that wouldn't be the case.
It wouldn't be the case. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Makes sense.
So Heward, they asked Brock Heward about that, and he said a couple of things. He said, one, there's the whole time zone thing. He said behind the scenes, the long travel is the talk of college football.
Yeah.
That is a huge thing. As a matter of fact, we just got word that Dan Lanning won't be on this week because they're traveling on Thursday and he doesn't have time on Wednesday.
Yeah.
This is a long trip for them and it changes their entire week.
Sure. And I do remember, I mean, obviously, you know, being in Utah, like, you know, we're not West Coast, but I do remember playing Alabama, teams in Florida, Virginia, you know, Indiana. I remember flying out there. Look, it's an impact. You absolutely feel it, especially late in the season when you got bumps and bruises. It is a thing. And you look at the record of the teams that have traveled two time zones, and it's a small sample, but yeah, it's a thing.
I think the last I saw it was 5-13.
Yeah.
It's teams, this is Big Ten, in Big Ten play, Big Ten teams. They, if you go two or more time zones either way, those teams are 5-13.
Yeah.
I think that's the last number I saw, although that's kind of a hard stat to keep track of.
Yeah, and we know, like, gambling, you know, we've talked about this for years, the NFL teams, right, you know, west going east to play the early games, it's an impact. I mean, we all know that.
Well, they said Illinois' equipment truck had to leave for Oregon on Tuesday.
Oof. It's tough.
And again, that's just the equipment truck.
Yeah.
But you get the idea. Like, yeah. I think we take it for granted. Lanning's even talked about it. He's like, we've really had to adjust to, and he doesn't, that's a guy that will never admit to anything being a problem.
You are so right.
Including getting sick.
Yeah.
But he's even said, yeah, these trips are longer and we've had to make adjustments.
Yeah.
We've had to work some things in.
Yep.
So Heward said, one, the long travel. Two, I thought this was a good point. He said that the physicality can be wearing some of the Pac-12 teams out, particularly the teams that are in the Big Ten, because he said the Big Ten's budgets, they allow these teams to keep assistant coach continuity, and that makes for tougher, more blossomed cultures that just play sound football. It's not necessarily that the teams are better. It's just that a lot of the coaches have been there a long time, and they're tough, and they're hard to play against.
Sure.
And that is wearing some of the Pac-12 teams out because they're not used to that.
Yeah.
And then he said that the last factor is the sheer size of the lines of some of these guys. He mentioned Iowa.
Yeah.
They're running 6'6", 350 along the offensive line.
Yeah, that's one
of those boys at Iowa are just different.
Yeah, it used to be like when you would play Stanford or when you would play Utah, there was always that talk that you got to be careful not to have them beat you twice because you get beat up. And I felt that too, being a smaller program at BYU when we would play. I remember we played Washington one year. Washington went to the Rose Bowl. They were really good. Certainly the Alabama game always sticks out in my mind. When we would go and play big physical teams, I'll tell you, man, you felt it. When you woke up Sunday, it felt different than when you played when we played Cal or when we played, you know, God forbid, Mexico or something. You knew that you had been in a fight.
You played Mexico?
New Mexico.
Oh, New Mexico.
New Mexico. Yeah, we didn't play the
old
country.
Mexico.
Yeah, old Mexico.
That'd be fun.
It was a vicious cockfight. Yeah, you felt it.
You Terry Tate, El Chapo's kid, and then find your...
You went down to take on the Sinaloa cartel?
I would not want to play that.
Find your head in a box?
No, I didn't pass. But yeah, I mean, I would have to look at a schedule, but you imagine, you know, playing... like Michigan, Iowa, and like Wisconsin in a 5-week stretch.
Well, and two of those on the road.
And two of those on the road. I'll bet you when you're waking up after a month, it's a lot. Think about like in boxing or whatever, when body shots. You don't get knocked out from a body shot, but you get deep into those rounds and you're going to feel it. And all of a sudden, everything kind of slows down, which is why we talked about like this college football season for a lot of these teams, it's going to be a war of attrition, and depth is going to be such a big factor in it. Who can stay healthy and fresh down the stretch?
Well, and that's what Brock was saying. He said really all the Pac-12 teams seem to be struggling with the adjustment to new leagues. Oregon is the one that is stocked enough to deal with it.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if the Pac-12 were together this year, I wonder what we would be saying.
Yeah.
You know, would it be Oregon and everybody else and, oh, the league's down and, you know, everybody, because you wouldn't have the Ohio State win.
No.
I mean, what win, like if you take their non-con schedule, of course, that's weird because they had Oregon State on there.
Sure.
But replace them with, I don't know.
You'd struggle against Boise. Like, and you wonder, USC, which USC has lost, what, four games by basically one play. Is USC a one-loss team in conference?
Exactly.
And we're talking about them differently. It's an interesting question.
Or Washington.
Yeah.
Or Utah.
Yeah, Washington was another one that let a couple games dribble down their leg.
Would the conversation be Deion Sanders, making his run?
Yeah.
With Colorado, or would it just be like Oregon's not any good? That league sucks. There's no other good team in that league. Yeah. They haven't beaten anyone. You know, it's interesting to think about how we fool ourselves based on who teams play and what league they play in.
Certainly, is a different. It's a different physicality, different travel, and a different style. And and maybe it'll take a couple years, and everyone will kind of settle into this or. Who knows? Maybe in 2 or 3 years, everything changes anyways. It's still weird to me to think that the Pac-12 is dead. I mean, I guess that's not true because the Pac-12 will live. It's just, which is weirder now. Not even talking about the Pac-12 because it really doesn't exist as a conference. It's a two-league placeholder. Or when the Pac-12 relaunches, when we talk about the Pac-12 as an afterthought. It's like, we're going to talk about the Pac-12 the way we talk about the Mountain West. Will that be weirder than not talking about it
at
all?
No, I think this is peak weird.
You think this is peak weird?
They have two teams.
Well, imagine though when we're talking about the Pac-12, we're like, man, that Colorado State, Oregon State game.
At least it's a league, and you have standings.
Yeah.
They don't even have, they're a league without standings.
No. And by the way, Washington State may get screwed because
they have standings first and second.
Washington State is
I don't think they do have standings, do they?
No.
I mean, someone has to finish first.
No conference.
There's no league.
League. So no.
But they consider themselves pair.
Correct.
So they're still a first and a second.
They consider themselves the Pac-12, but no, there's no...
No, there's no one else.
They don't have enough teams to make a league.
Washington State could go 11-1 and not... They won't make the playoff at 11-1 because there's no... They're not eligible because they're not in conference.
And they would finish first in their conference.
And
they would need to play.
And their reward for that would be the Sun Bowl or something.
They would need to play.
Maybe.
They would have to have a couple of bigger wins in order to jump high enough to.
Yeah.
In other words, they would have to play tougher non-con.
Yeah, because they can't be the automatic qualifier because the conference doesn't qualify. So they would have to be an at-large berth. And no one's taking a one-loss Washington State team over a two-loss Alabama or a two-loss Penn State.
You told me this yesterday.
Boise State.
That's right. Boise State beat them.
They lost to Boise
Genty
State.
Mauled them.
Yeah.
And their biggest win is Washington.
Washington. Which, by the way, doesn't help because Washington's 4-4. So they've had a couple close ones.
They just went down at a comeback victory against San Diego State.
Against San Diego State. They pulled one out. So they've beaten Portland State, Texas Tech, power four. Washington, San Jose State got mauled by Boise. And that's the one that hurts is like you got drilled. By Boise, and then you beat Fresno State, you beat Hawaii, and you beat San Diego State. And then the rest of their schedule is Utah State, New Mexico, Oregon State, Wyoming. There's not a... Washington's going to finish with 5 or 6 losses, probably. There's not a good win on your schedule. There isn't one. And the best team that you played drilled you by 20. Like, so I know Washington State fan, like, it, you know, going 11-1 would be awesome, but you have zero chance of being selected for the playoff.
All right. Well, I thought that was interesting. We'll keep an eye on that moving forward. You know?
Yeah.
The old Pac-12 team.
Absolutely. Tell the Pac-12 resurfaces. Then we can talk about that Pac-12.
And then we go. Then then what do we call?
I don't know. Just the X. I don't know. It's so weird. The whole damn thing is just bizarre. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
They scored.
Yep.
Hey, 2-1.
Yep.
It's something. Wait, did they not score on that? Oh, my God. How did they not score on that? The Yankees.
Tom Brady posted what? That's next on The Fan. Well, last night we talked about Giselle being pregnant, not with Tom's next child.
No. No mouth kissing there.
She is pregnant at the age of 44 with her Brazilian jiu-jitsu instructor boyfriend.
They omoplated and ended up with a baby.
Did you see what Tom Brady shared on social media?
Emo Tommy.
Was it a touching post?
Very emo.
Kind of.
a little cryptic. He posted a picture of a sunset.
Okay.
And he had three heart emojis on it.
This is to his Instagram stories.
Yes. And the song Landslide, which is originally by Fleetwood Mac. This one was the Chicks cover of Landslide.
Okay.
And he posted that, the lyrics of that. Or the song was playing.
Okay.
And you know the lyrics, right? Can I read you the lyrics?
Yeah, read me the lyrics.
Well, he had a caption too,
I'm
right?
I'm familiar with that song. Take my heart and... What are the
You're doing great.
Yeah. I'm familiar with that tune, obviously.
Okay, he wrote... Let's see. Something
about taking your heart and putting it down or something?
He wrote, "Oh, mirror in the sky, what is love? What is love?"
Maybe don't hurt me no more. No,
can the child within my heart rise above? Can I sail through the changing ocean tides? Okay, so you know the song?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I've been afraid of changing because I've built my life around you.
Yeah.
But time makes you bolder. Even children get older. And I'm getting older, too.
Instagram is so stupid. So are these things. So is this a positive post? Is this a heartbreaking post?
Is he saying he misses Giselle? What are we saying here?
You tell me.
You tell me.
It's heavy.
Oh, mirror in the sky, what is love? Come on, Tom.
Can I handle the seasons of my life?
Hey, Red Danny, Red Danny.
For God's
sakes, I've been
Tom.
Afraid of changing because I've built my life around you.
Mm. See, there's the...
I don't know.
What's that mean?
I think he's not happy with the pregnancy. I think he's got some regret. Emo Tommy.
Well, maybe he thought there was a chance that he got her back, and now it's not because the jiu-jitsu guy was smart enough to put a baby in there. He boxed him out. Tom thought he was going to grab that rebound, and that dude boxed him out. I was like, nice try, Tom. Tom, just go find yourself a 22-year-old model.
You think Tommy's really sad?
Yeah, I think he probably is.
And he comes home after calling a game on Fox and cashing a $25 million check and then gets a bourbon and is still very sad?
Well, if you're Tom and you have never failed at anything in your life and you fail at the marriage that you tried to keep together, I mean, remember, he took that time off to go try to fix his marriage. By all accounts, he did not want this. And you're Tom Brady. I'm sure he never thought in a million years that his wife was going to tell him to go pound sand. And then you find out that your wife was probably, you know, doing something besides going to jiu-jitsu practice every day. It's like, hey, she's training at that place 7 hours a day, Tom. Figure it out. That's probably hard to deal with. Tom's not used to that.
Tech says, social media has turned everyone into a whiny, brooding teenager.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This is like I said.
That's very unlike Tommy, though, to post his... anything resembling feelings.
Again, that's what I'm
saying. He's very robotic.
It's turned everyone into a whiny teenager. It's like, I always point out, like, when Flip Saunders died and Kevin Garnett went and took a photo or had someone take a photo of him sitting in Flip Saunders' parking spot, like, being emotional. I'm like, really, Kevin? Good one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Tom's a person, too, and so is Kevin Garnett. They have every right to express themselves how they please. It's just very out of character for Touchdown Tommy.
I think Sook's not a big fan of the performative emotions.
Drives me effing crazy. It might be the thing that I hate worst, or that I hate most in this life, is the performative sadness. Drives me bananas. Someone dies, and then you go to like the makeshift memorial for him, and then like you lay down on the ground and sob crying because like your sports, like someone you've never met, and you're like, how will I go on? You're like, really? Like, that's... Really? Where you're at? Oh, by the way, make sure you post this because I'm going to put it to Instagram. Like, you have someone film you crying in the fetal position on a public sidewalk and then you post it to Instagram? You effing poser.
All right.
Yeah. Dude, he's such an effing loser.
Well, let's get to the club. We've got a 93-year-old man going to jail.
Really?
Yeah.
Boy, I'll tell you what. If I'm on that jury, you would have had to do something pretty impressive at 93 to go to jail.
There's no jury.
Oh,
he
did it.
Oh so, yeah,
you're 93.
What do you think he did?
I don't know, but at 93, are you going to jail? He just put him in a. Oh, by the way,
put him in jail.
I got to tell you this because it wasn't 90, but boy, there was an old person incident today with a bicycle. And I felt so bad. I didn't even know what to... I got another old person. Like, what do you do? Because I didn't know.
Well, suddenly a lot to get to.
Yeah.
We also have the wildlife issue of our time, according to some.
Oh.
So that's coming up in the club on The Fan.